Greetings to you in Christ's name this morning. This devotion stems out of a couple things that have and will happen in our church. We, about a month ago, Shane and John led us in a very thoughtful Wednesday evening about church positions. And I'm also reminded that sometime here in the next, maybe this week or in a couple weeks, we'll have papers in our mailboxes. And we'll have the opportunity to allow people to have the benefits of teaching. And so it's somewhat in that storyline that I thought of the story of Moses. So turn with me in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 3. And this is a story that, well, the story continues in chapter 4, but this is a story that sort of lurches back and forth between God trying to persuade Moses that it'll work because I'm involved. And Moses and his unbelief. Now, up to this point, God had not given Moses, I don't think God had given Moses any reason, and I owed him a reason to ever doubt his faithfulness. In fact, Moses, somewhere in his life, probably would have found out of how he survived the instructions of the king to kill all the baby boys. I don't know. I'm surprised that that narrative doesn't show up when God was trying to convince Moses. But it's not written. Maybe it did, but it's not written. All right, let's read Exodus 3. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not thither, put off the shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land, unto a good land, and a large, and to a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with you, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say to the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go, gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and have seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and to a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and ye shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us, and now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when ye go, you shall not go empty, but every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. Well, leading up to this story, Acts 7 would say that Moses was 40 years old, and Moses had gone through some huge changes. By all appearances, Moses is happy. He's married, has children. And we like to talk about finding value in your work. Now, let's think about this. Moses probably was used to royalty. So he's out tending sheep now. And not just tending sheep anywhere. No. You are on the back side of the desert tending sheep. And if that isn't enough, the sheep aren't even yours. They're your father-in-law's. Now, some of us, including me, would find that just a little bit challenging. Some of you probably find that restful. I mean, just think about watching somebody else's sheep graze day after day after day. Well, so one day God decides he's going to reveal himself to Moses. And I'm not sure why he chose Moses. Was it because he knew of the land? Moses had obviously fled because he had killed an Egyptian. And I think he probably would have stayed, but he got hints that it had gotten out. So God reveals himself, his presence, through a burning bush. And Moses respectfully responds to God's instructions. Don't come closer. Take off your shoes. And Moses makes an appropriate response to that request. He knows that this is something special, and he hides his face. So then God speaks out to Moses, he says. And God, Moses figures out that it is God. And who he was in times past is revealed to him too. He talks about the patriarchs in times past. And God explains to Moses, very simple terms, I've heard their cries. It's time to bring these people out of Egypt. And he explains his actionable mercy that he wants to have to the Israelites. And you would think Moses would be all over that, because the reason he killed the Egyptian was because I think he had a connection with these people. He felt sorry to see his fellow men being mistreated. So God tells him, we're going to rescue these people, and we're going to geographically relocate them. And I think, I don't know, but that probably was a little bit of a bigger hurdle than what, okay, so we're going to deliver the Israelites, but bring all these people out, this takes a lot of planning and coordination. And then in verse 11, Moses has listened well up to this point, I think, but in verse 11, Moses sort of tries to take over the narrative here, and he pushes back a little bit to God. I mean, he tries to impose seeds of doubt upon himself. In verse 13, he says, who am I? Who should I say that sent me? And in verse 15, God implies that his faithfulness to his fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is enough. That should be enough to convince you that I'm going to walk with you through this. And this is a long narrative here. And then in chapter 4, Moses, I don't think this is going to work out. And God says, well, what do you got in your hand? Well, I have a rod in my hand. Well, cast it down. It turns to a serpent. He picks the serpent back up, turns into a rod again. Still not enough. So then God says, well, put your hand in your bosom. He pulls it out, and it's leprous. He said, well, put it back in. He pulls it out again. It's clean. No, that's still not enough. And, you know, then he, you know, turns to the worst excuse, and he says in verse 10 of chapter 4, he says, well, I am not eloquent. How's that, God? My speech is slow, and so is my tongue. And, you know, there's so much in this story up to this point that I've had to just sort of think about some of my thoughts in times past when I, you know, responsibilities of church and responsibilities, whether you've been asked to do them or whether you've been elected. And I've thought of all the excuses, and I think Moses and I have been on the same level here. And, you know, it behooves me as I study this story that God's reply to Moses is so eloquent. He says, who hath made man's mouth? Well, okay, I guess you have, God. Moses, in verse 13 of chapter 4, just wants to send somebody else to do this work. He wants somebody else to do God's work. And partially, God does turn and said, look, check this guy out, Aaron. And Aaron does come along, and he is helpful in this relocation, the freeing of the Israelites. He is helpful. And so, you know, I had to think about my responsibilities, whether you're asked to lead out. That's not the only responsibility that each of us has. We can all be what I would call Aarons. And last Sunday would have been a great time to be an Aaron in your Sunday school class, to help, to talk, to think, you know, process. We are God's people. We are here not to just listen to one person talk and to shut off our hearts and minds while they talk. We're here to help each other. And the reality is that the essence of this story is not so much about Moses, but it's about God. And I think that it's an important distinction to make in this story. We see God's faithfulness, and Moses, I mean, it is sort of entertaining reading about all his excuses, but that's not why this story, I think, is written. This story is written because of God's work. And that work, God's work, continues today. It has happened before I ever got up. And I trust that this role that Moses and Aaron played in God's plan will encourage all of you to encourage each other and to not give in to our self-imposed limitations that we're so tempted to. May the Lord bless you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, you've so aptly supplied stories and preserved stories that are just so relevant for today in 2023. Dear Lord, thank you for giving us your word that speaks to my heart, to our hearts, to this congregation's hearts, to the visitors' hearts. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be active, play an active role today as we listen to Sunday school, as we sing praises to you, as we listen to message that is imparted to us. Help us to play the role that you have intended for us, and that we not replace it with our own laziness. May we praise you and honor you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.